Rough Rider Radio is paid for by Yavapai College and is solely responsible for its content.
From the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's time for Rough Rider Radio, a focus on Yavapai College. And now, here's your host for Rough Rider Radio, Kim Capen.
Welcome to Rough Rider Radio, the show about all things Yavapai College, your community college. We have two outstanding guests with us today. First up is former professional baseball player and head softball coach Doug Eastman. He'll tell us about his experience transforming the Lady Rough Riders softball program into a major contender. Look forward to that. Later in the show, we'll chat it up with Jane Hirsch, District Director for Veteran Services. She'll talk about the many ways Yavapai College helps our vets receive well-deserved educational benefits and training and more. We're going to take a short break and return with Coach Doug Eastman.
Follow your passion at Yavapai College. Are you the sort of person who needs to know how things work? Then the School of Science and Engineering is where you should start. Yavapai College's highly trained instructors will guide you in the areas of biology, chemistry, geology, computer systems, health sciences, and more. Combine your creative abilities with the technical know-how at Yavapai College and lay the groundwork for a new career. Visit their website today at yc.edu and learn to do what you love. You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we are back with Doug Eastman, head coach of the Rough Riders softball team. Doug, welcome. Great to have you. You know, you've got a great background. I want to start with your professional career. Actually, let's go back one step before that. You played in college as well, I believe in Sacramento, and then you were drafted. Tell us about that experience.
Well, you know, it all started actually, and it's the reason I'm a believer in a two-year process. I started my baseball career at College of the Siskiyous, which is a two-year program. I was an All-American there and got an opportunity to get a scholarship at Sacramento State. Played 1 year at Sacramento State. I was an All-American at Sacramento State and got drafted to go play with the Cincinnati Reds organization way back in 1986.
Wow.
And then lucky enough, my first year in the minor leagues, I was the MVP for the Cincinnati Reds organization. It was the first opportunity for me to go and have dinner with Pete Rose and Marge Schott and the owners of the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah,
and
tell us about that. You know, Pete Rose was a huge personality, and so was Marge Schott. Those of us that were paying attention to baseball back in the 1980s remember both those names very, very well.
Well, Pete, yeah, he's an interesting fella. We all know of his accolades of having the most hits in Major League history. You know, not a real personable guy. I mean, yeah. You know, you can sit there and have a conversation with him, but sooner or later the conversation is going to go on his accolades and what he's accomplished.
Right.
And Marge Schott, I mean, what an interesting owner at the time, you know, a no-bling owner, I would say.
Right.
She comes to dinner, and she's got her sweats on, and she's got, you know, she has St. Bernard. She raises a bunch of them. You know, she's got the St. Bernard hair all over her sweats,
yeah.
And not a problem.
Yeah.
So,
somebody you can relate to.
You can. Just somebody that, you know, just came off the farm and did some work, and here she is at dinner. So, but interesting stuff, and I've had a incredible opportunity to meet some greats. You know, I talk about some of my hitting instructors, and you know, we talk about Pete Rose, but I had Tony Perez. I had Ted Williams.
Goodness. Ted Williams?
Ted Williams.
Splinter.
He worked with me many times in spring training, and we had an opportunity to sit down and talk hitting and you know, Ted Kluczynski and just some of the greats that knew a lot more about the game than I did.
Yeah, I am an old baseball fan. I'm old and I'm a baseball fan, and I remember Ted Williams very well, and I know a lot of our listeners will too. What was he like to work with? I mean, he was really, in terms of hitting acumen, he was a cut above and really astute. And what did you learn from him that maybe you didn't pick up from anybody else?
Well, you know, it's pretty simple. And we talked about mechanics, too, a lot. But he was just into getting a good pitch to hit and doing your homework on a pitcher. You know, he stressed that, you know, you tried to figure out a pitcher by minusing pitches that he didn't have for that day. Mm. You know, if his breaking ball wasn't working, then you had to look fastball. If he only threw three or four changeups, but they were only setup pitches and they didn't mean anything, they weren't going to throw it in the big part of the game. He was a big guy about doing your homework in the on-deck circle, doing your homework in the dugout, and making sure that you were prepared for what was going to come your way. So the mental part of the game, you know, how to hit 300, you know, he wrote a book and, and, but a man of few words. He wasn't going to sit there and talk about a bunch of different stuff. He got right to the point. A daunting of a figure of over his accomplishments. Right. And at that time, you know, he was, he wasn't moving very well. You know, he had the bad knees and he would travel around in his golf cart and he'd come and talk to you and he'd watch you hit in the cage and give you a few pointers and then off he would go to the next cage. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, over a lifetime, or his career batting average was over 340. So he knew what he was talking about. What position did he play, by the way?
Ted Williams, you know, that's a good question. I know Ted, I think he played some first base and I think he played some outfield.
And how about yourself?
Well, I played center field, for the Cincinnati Reds organization. I was a shortstop in college, in, at the 2 year level. And then when I went to Sacramento State, they moved me to center field there. Mm-hmm. So, I enjoy the outfield. You know, it was an opportunity for me to use my speed. Part of the reason why I had a short career is because of my speed. I stole so many bases, you know, at the collegiate level and so many bases, you know, when I was playing for the Cincinnati Reds that, and back then it was okay to slide face first into the bags and all that wear and tear of my wrist going back and going back and going back. It just pretty much wore out all my ligaments and three surgeries later, I finally had to give it up.
What is it like being a professional baseball player? And you probably strive for that for a long time, probably since you were a kid. And you just have to say, you know, I got to hang it up and I got to do something else. How did you get into coaching lady softball from there?
Well, interesting story. You know, with all the pain that I was going through and all the anti-inflammatories and painkillers I had to take on a daily basis just to stay in the game kind of told me that this is enough health reasons. And, it was tough to give it up. You know, your dreams are kind of changing, but. You know, I got an opportunity to coach a baseball when I came back to college at the Siskiyous, but the baseball coach had one more year in his contract. So they said, you know, would you like to take over the softball program? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, softball? I don't know. Yeah. You know, women's athletics and stuff. I just don't know if I can go there. And boy, did I just love it immediately. Mm-hmm. And I think the dynamic is this. We understand it's a quicker game and all that, but with female athletes, I mean, what a treat. They're not playing to play professional ball. They're playing for a means to an end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're going to work as hard as you ask them to work. You know, they're looking for an opportunity to get a scholarship and further their education. And there's just not the egos that you always have to deal with mm-hmm. with some men's sports. Because mm-hmm. let's face it, all collegiate men's baseball players think they're going to go pro. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what's in their mind. Mm-hmm. Female athletes think about it in a different capacity. And they're tough. Make no mistake. Female athletes are extremely tough. And they can play through all kinds of different ailments and pain and boy, I can't see myself ever going back the other way. I just love to coach women's athletics.
So ego aside for female athletes at that level, is you have a degree in psych. Is there, do you communicate differently, with ladies as opposed to when you're working with men, for example?
Well, I think I communicate differently with each individual, and I think that's the key. Everybody has a different motor. Everybody has to be motivated in a different capacity. So I have an open door policy. I like to think that, you know, I'm a father figure, a mentor to them on when they're away from home. And, so I think the psych part of the game is huge. I always say happy chickens lay more eggs. And, you know, they got to be engaged. They got to feel good about where they're at. They got to feel good about the program. And listen, I spend just as much time with personal issues that they're dealing with than the game. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why we were able to be successful every single year is taking care of that business and making sure the athlete is happy in what they do.
Well, something was working because I believe you won 7 championships at with your former team before coming here. Now, when you came here about 4 years ago, the team had essentially been sunsetted. They didn't have enough players. There were some issues going on with some of the players. So they missed the 2014 season. By 2016, you had district champions.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround, and that was my vision coming here. You know, Yavapai has such a rich heritage in success, and I didn't take this job for any other reason. To win championships and try to bring home a national championship to Yavapai College. So, yeah, my previous college, you know, we are 301-19, I think, in 8 years. And, coming here last year, of course, we were 49-7. The year before, we took fourth in the nationals. We're off to a great start, 8-0, this year. But it's just a tribute to, a bunch of hard working young ladies that buy into the process you know, Coach Stalter and I are pretty lucky to have him.
Mm-hmm. Take us through the front part of the season. We're partway through. Get us caught up for those of us that follow the Lady Rough Riders. How's the season gone? And let's talk about some of your key performers and where we're going for the balance of the season.
Well, I think it's very interesting because we started out, we were a little loose in some areas. You know, we didn't play a couple of games very well, and that stuff doesn't, you know, concern me very much. As games go on, you kind of want to see what the team does and make adjustments. And man, I love where they're at right now. Holy cow. I mean, they got excitement. They bring an energy to the game that's unparalleled, I think, by any of the previous teams I've coached here at Yavapai. So when you got that energy, you got that confidence, you got a chance to win games. And it starts with the pitching staff. I mean, we got 3 pitchers that they've already thrown 9 shutouts in what is it now? It's, 14 games or whatever the case we've played. And, you know, that's unheard of. Huh? You got a chance to win when you put a 0 on the board. And then hitting wise, I mean, we lead the conference in home runs. We have 24 home runs already in just a handful of games. We have some young ladies that are batting averages in the high 400s. Defense is number 1 in the conference. So, and you put all those things together, you got a chance. And I like where we're at.
What's the record as it stands here in mid-February?
We're 14-3, and we're 8-0 in conference. We're undefeated. We got a couple of big games to play tomorrow against Mesa Community College, which is 7-3 in league. So, you know, the challenges are keep coming at us. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about being successful, and I tell the girls this all the time, is you're going to get everybody's best game. There's definitely a target on your jersey when you're undefeated. And, but we embrace that. We welcome mm-hmm. that. And, you know, it's an honor for us to be out in front right now.
How do you maintain that momentum for a 50 plus game season? That's a lot of games for a student athlete to play, and we'll talk about the student part shortly, but how do you keep that motivation up?
Well, I just think that you got to show them that you're as excited about the game as they are. And, you know, I think motivation through the coaching staff is integral to keeping a program going. And I'm generally excited. And, you know, when I watch some of these athletes do the things they do as a coach, I marvel. And you think, well, you know, Coach Eastman's played some professional ball, all that. No, they do things that amazes me sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I tell them that. And they know that I'm genuinely excited about the things they do. And I think that's how you keep the momentum going is having a certain amount of electricity through a whole season.
So we hope you make it to the Nationals this year.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Now, what do you think your chances are? Let's make a fearless prediction in our last 20 seconds or so here.
Well, unfortunately, you're only as good as your last couple of games. Do we have the talent? Yes. Do we have the mindset? Yes, we do. Do we have the energy and the excitement in this team to go all the way? We certainly do. So we will see, but I do think we have the talent to do so.
Okay, very good. And we can follow the Rough Riders on goroughriders.com. And you guys are really great about keeping everything up to date on the website. So if you're interested, go to goroughriders.com. Come on out to the games. Doug, thank you for being with us today. Good luck with the rest of the season. We're going to take a short break and come back with Jane Hirsch.
A college education can get really expensive. That's why people choose Yavapai College. They've done the math. Yavapai's tuition is thousands less than a state or private university. Definitely the best choice for a low-cost, high-quality education with super supportive instructors. You can take credit classes to earn a degree or certificate, to transfer over to another institution, or simply for personal enjoyment. Register today at yc.edu. Yavapai College. Life explored.
Coast to Coast with George Norrie, 7 nights a week beginning at 11 on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA.
You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQNA. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we are back with Jane Hirsch, Director of Veteran Services. I know I truncated your title a little bit. Tell us about what you do for veterans at this college. You know, out in the community, Yavapai College is known for doing many, many things. We train for the workforce, we train for academics, and we also have veteran services that are pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, we actually do a lot for veterans here at Yavapai College. We're so lucky to have a grant that actually helps them transition into college and get ready before they actually enroll into the college program that they desire to do. And, you know, veterans come with so many skills that they've learned in the military and, you know, all the important work that they did while they were serving in the military, they bring to the table. And so they have a lot of great perspective in the classroom as well. So what we do for them is help them get ready. And then once they get ready, and as long as they want in the Veterans Upper Bound program, I know we can talk a little more detail
we'll
later. But, you know, then they can also get their veterans benefits here if they qualify for their post 9/11 GI Bill, for example. We also serve their dependents if they're eligible for veterans benefits as well.
Okay, very good. Let's back up a little bit. How did you get involved with this? You know, there's been a lot of talk about veterans and veterans being underserved in this country, and many have a very difficult time transitioning from the military into civilian life. What was it that made you focus on this or brought you to focus on veteran services?
Well, you know, my career in basically student services started a long time ago, probably longer than I want to admit. But about 30 years ago. I've been working with student services for that long. But then actually my career turned to more special groups, people that need a little extra attention, a little extra help because they have a lot of other things that are in front of them that they have to get through, you know, the barriers that they have to overcome. So veterans, for me anyway, my mom actually worked with the military during her time with UNICEF. And so UNICEF, and she basically was in a state called Israel currently, and it was down toward the end of the World War II. And she had always talked about how much military people put their lives on the line to help and support others. And, you know, I felt that that's a really great way for me to give back. So that's where my career kind of turned to work with veterans. And that was about, you know, 1999 or so. I've been at Yavapai for about since 95. And I was the Veterans Services Coordinator at that time. So after being able to meet with veterans, on a daily basis, I found many, many stories that they would tell me about where they went in the world and what they did and how they served and what they saw, which was very moving. And so this,
you know,
is
we
my
hear
chance.
A lot nationally. We hear some negative things about the treatment of veterans, say through some of the federal programs. What kind of feedback are you getting from the veterans themselves? Are they coming out and feeling positive about their service and looking forward to moving ahead? Or do you find impediments to their future in terms of their psychology and sociology as they transition back in?
Well, let's face it. I mean, when a person goes into the military, generally it's around the time frame of when they graduate high school. Mm-hmm. They look out at the world when they graduate high school and realize, well, maybe the military would be good for me because I can learn a good skill and so on. So they pretty much put their life on hold. So consider this. When a person is 18, they make that choice and they may go into the military, serve for maybe 4 to 6 years on average and maybe longer. And life is not the same when they are discharged out of the military. Life is different. You know, they kind of remember it as an 18-year-old, but they've seen so much in their lives and done so much in their lives in a highly structured environment that they come back out and there's just so much to do yet mm-hmm. to transition. So the impediments is regaining sort of a foundation of how to be a civilian, to come back to civilian life mm-hmm. after having been in a structured situation for a number of years. The other thing is that they have so many bureaucracies to have to deal with. You know, not only being discharged from the VA, but also the hospital, medical care, mental health care, all those things are things that are sometimes difficult to navigate. And then put on top of it, education. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes our veterans are troubled by addiction. And so they have to go through perhaps some treatment in that area. So what we do here at Yavapai is to celebrate, you know, their service and also help them get on the journey to coming back to civilian life and become a college student without necessarily just jumping into it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some of our veterans are a bit daunted by sitting in a classroom, you know, after not being in an educational environment in a really long time. Like, okay, what to expect? In addition to the fact there's other people that are younger than them, maybe a little more, they haven't seen the world like they have. Mm-hmm. So they have such a perspective to give. But basically, they have to transition and understand what that environment is, and it doesn't just kind of just happen overnight.
What percentage come into your program and that you feel are emotionally prepared to move forward successfully? I know it's a tough question. You don't have to pull a number out. Are you feeling many are ready to go, and do you work hand in hand with the VA if they're still receiving treatment for any emotional issues or addiction or any of those things?
Well, primarily the folks that we help with that transition are coming from the VA hospital right next door. Mm-hmm. And they basically come out of the domiciliary where they are undergoing treatment for addiction. However, what we really want to make sure of is that we're not going to be putting the pressures of them coming to college unless they're ready. So we do work very closely with the VA to ensure with their counselors, have they gone through their treatment program far enough along where they're ready to take mm-hmm. on something else?
Right.
And so we do try to support that effort. Mm-hmm. In terms of percentage, I would say the people that are having the most difficulty transitioning would be folks that are undergoing those treatment, and they're primarily in our Veterans Upper Bound program. Mm-hmm. We serve about 129 per year.
Yeah, tell us about Veterans Upward Bound. I've seen commercials, I've seen all sorts of outreach on that, but tell the community what services are offered within that program.
Well, the key thing about Veterans Upper Bound to remember, and this is a real important word, it's pre-college. What pre-college means is basically before they enter into college, before they start taking college-level courses, this is a chance, and it's free to those who qualify. This is a chance for them to prepare and then not get in a situation where they kind of become disenchanted and then just drop out. Mm. I'll tell you, something that's very important, that if a veteran decides that they want to just jump right into college and they're not really ready, they may get into college and they'll get their VA benefits. If they drop out, it causes them to have to owe money to the VA. And that's what we don't want to do. So if we bring them into our Veterans Upper Bound program as a starting point to be able to prepare, their chances of being successful are far greater. And what we offer is basically preparatory math, English, you know, writing, computer skills, even a language. And we also give them an introductory to science and also literature. So all of those sort of academic courses are meant to, or programming that we do, is meant to get them exposed to what to expect in college and just be a little bit more ready. They can be in the program as long as they want, really. On average, I would say that they're between they'll spend about 2 to 4 months just getting ready and then get ready to go into the next semester. I have to say, Kim, right now is the perfect time for a veteran to start with Veterans Upper Bound right now, because, you know, the semester's already started, you know, with college classes. So, you know, we don't want people to just sit at home waiting for this next semester to come. So come join Veterans Upper Bound and find out if you're eligible so that, you know, to get ready until the next semester starts, which is, you know, summer or fall.
Right. Before we sign off, I'll have you tell people that how they can get in touch with you. But I want to go back to a little bit about what you were saying about helping them achieve success and be successful. Is there a particular story in your past where you've seen a veteran just really do some great stuff, or a group of veterans, and you just feel so proud and so good about what you did?
I'm so glad you asked, because I do. I have a great story. And, you know, basically it's a female, actually. I'll name her Brenda. Okay. And she came to me a few years ago, actually, and she was, towing along a couple of, toddlers. And she came to my office and she says, you know, it was basically the end of April. And she said, you know, I want to go to college. I'm like, okay. By the way, she was a Marine, and she was moved by, 9/11 to go into the military. She did some incredible things while she was there in the military. And so when she came to me, she said, I want to get started, and it's be assured that it's at the end of April. And I said, well, when do you want to get started? May, you know, or June, summer. And I'm like, okay, the summer semester starts June, you know, like 5th or something like that. And I said, you've got about 5 weeks. What do you need help in? Oh, well, I'm really bad at math. Okay. Hang with us in Veterans Upper Bound for 5 weeks. And by the way, she went ahead and got tested. She did the assessment test, and she was in a lower level algebra class. And when she was with us for that 5 weeks, she was able to test higher and be in a higher level math during the summer, which was then intermediate algebra, and then get into the class necessary for the nursing program she was pursuing in fall, which was math 152. So in any case, the big story is she just graduated.
Fantastic.
And I'm so proud of her. She's given so much in support of our services here at Yavapai College, and especially in the community as well.
That's terrific. You know, we've got to wrap up, and I want to give you the opportunity to tell people how to contact Veteran Services, how to get any information, any questions answered, and additional information on programs from you.
Okay. Well, first off, you know, the easiest way is to get online and read up on some information. So that would be www.yc.edu/, and go to VUB, Veterans Upper Bound. It's just VUB, real easy. If you get there, you'll know where to start here, okay? So Veterans Upper Bound is a starting point. If Veterans Upper Bound is not for you, you'll see a link there for Veteran Services. Phone number is 928-717-7686.
Very good. Jane, thanks for being with us today. We're going to take another short break and come on back.
Yavapai College is your community college with 6 campus locations throughout Yavapai County, offering a wide variety of quality, affordable academic programs and job training that's designed to get you working quickly. Stay connected with Yavapai College through social media and receive the latest news about Performing Arts Center shows, art exhibitions, upcoming enrollment dates, course schedules, and more. It's all available by just visiting the college website at yc.edu. Now, let's return to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen.
Special thanks to Coach Doug Eastman and Jane Hirsch for appearing on today's show. And thank you, listeners, for supporting Yavapai College. Remember, you can find information on all YC classes, news, sporting events, concerts, and more by visiting yc.edu and following Yavapai College on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is Kim Capen back with you on Rough Rider Radio next week.
You've been listening to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen. The views expressed on today's show are solely those of Yavapai College and do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our sponsors. Join us next Saturday at 12:30 for Rough Rider Radio on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Rough Rider Radio was paid for by Yavapai College and were solely responsible for its content.